Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. And today is your chance to ask us anything about podcasting. So your podcasting questions to our panel of experts, veterans, fellow content creators, you name it, we're here to help answer those questions. So if you don't mind, if you're listening live on Clubhouse, please share this however Clubhouse allows you. And if you're listening via podcast, please share this with a fellow podcaster and then give us 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Good morning, podcast and morning chat. Thank you for being here today. Today, we're going with the Ask Us Anything episode. We've been doing those a little bit more frequently. We've had one on all things AI. We've had one on all things podcasting, and we will keep things going with the podcasting theme. Being that we are the podcasting morning chat, let's talk about all things podcasting. And wow, which direction do I want to start? First, let me say, I'm going to skip the line. Currently, we have my co-hosts here, Nick, Sid, Dominic, and Alex. And Dominic and Alex, in particular, I wanted to take a moment to hear, I know you two both were in New York and met up with Stacy, and I believe had some New York pizza, trying to rub it in. How was that? Well, I'll go to Dominic. Dominic, since you're the one that traveled to New York, tell us a little bit about that. Please, let's hear it.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is well. So obviously for the second day in a row while in New York, I had pizza. was able to have a few slices with Alex and Stacy at a really cool spot outside of the Port Authority where Stacy wanted us to meet. Stacy and Alex were nice enough to come over from New Jersey to kind of meet up and hang out a little bit. And it was really cool. It was a really cool experience.
Awesome. Yeah. Dominic sent me that picture and then I looked on Facebook and it was posted. And I have another one I found from Stacy that she posted of her and Dominic. Really cool. And I think, Alex, you were pretty enamored by the place that you guys ended up having that pizza. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a cool place. You know, I mean, you live in a, you know, I've been in New York my whole life and to find a little hole in the wall, you know, it was behind everything that was really nice. So, and it was, you know, it was just a nice place to eat. I'm going to probably go back there But yeah, it was funny because they're like, oh, where do you want to eat? And it's like, you know, when you get a bunch of friends, it's like trying to figure out what country do you want to eat in, you know, this, that. And again, the other problem is Wednesday at lunchtime is it's crazy because of the theaters and everybody's trying to get in and out really quick so they can go to the theater. And luckily this really wasn't affected by that. So, yeah, I was it's an easy place to kind of meet and the food was decent. So we had a good time.
Awesome. Awesome. Dominic, which pizza was better, the one that you had late night the night before or the one you had yesterday?
You know, it's interesting, right? Because the night before, like I was saying, like it was kind of cool to just be out at 12:30 having pizza late at night, right? And so this was kind of like a New York experience that was different, right? Because this time it was like in the middle of the day, hole in the wall, like Italian music playing in the background. So it was like two different cool New York experiences or stereotype New York experiences that I got to experience. So I'm going to say the you know, meeting Stacy and Alex was the qualifier here that would make it better. Right. Okay. Because the first time, like the night before, I'm like with coworkers and stuff and they're phenomenal. They're amazing coworkers. Right. But to get to meet Stacy and Alex for the first time, it was really cool. And I think we talked for like 2 hours straight. We pretty much shut down the lunch rush pretty much. So it was kind of cool.
I love that. That's awesome. Thank you for both for sharing a little bit about that experience. Yeah, a little jealous, but I know I keep reminding myself there's always June.
I mean, you're going to be there for Stacy's event, man. So
that's true.
Maybe you'll get your shot. But just remember, Mark, I got there first.
You did.
I got there first.
You did. Doesn't surprise me the way that Dominic hustles. Doesn't surprise me. I want to also, since we're talking about Alex as well, I do want to share briefly because he shared it with me. You all have probably, if you've listened for any period of time, you've probably heard me mention Auphonic. And Alex finally took the plunge and tried out Auphonic. And specifically, he has his most recent episode of Daddy Daughter Bookworms that he does with his daughter, Lucy. They did a live recording at the local library, and he ran it through Auphonic to improve that sound quality because of the environment. Alex, was it particularly noisy there, echoey there?
It was, yeah. I mean, it's hard doing a live event, and that it cleaned it up pretty well. And then Saturday, I just released another episode yesterday. And it was in a bookstore and there were people talking. And I got to tell you, the thing, it sounded great. I mean, I played for Dominic and Stacy. You can't hear it. I mean, it's 7 minutes if you want to check it out.
Well, yeah, what I'm going to do actually is just play like a minute or two of it just to give people at least a feel of the end result. It would probably be even more effective if I could have played you the before, but let's take Alex's word for it that this was a noisier environment for recording, lots of chatting going on, people talking in the background, room noise, etc. I'll play the first minute or two, and I have to play the very beginning because I just find Lucy's voice completely adorable. So I will play just like a minute or two. So let's listen to the latest episode of Daddy Daughter Bookworms.
Daddy Daughter Bookworms, sponsored by CareFirst Training Group, where we talk about children's books.
Hello, bookworms. We're here with a special guest, Andy Griffiths, and he is done with his U.S. tour of 13-story Treehouse, and he has his newest book, 169-story Treehouse.
I mean, that sounds almost like you're in a studio.
Yeah, I was quiet because I think it lowered the volume, but we were in a room. There's people talking in the background, like whispering, and I could hear it. And you're like trying to not say something or give them looks. And you're like, you know, because I did this on my iPhone. So I want people to understand It's not, you don't need the fancy equipment. You just need an iPhone. And we just ran it through. And like I said, it came out really well. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with me, Alex. And yeah, for the opportunity to share it with everybody here. I do not have any partnership, affiliate arrangement, sponsor agreement with Authonic. I know I talk about it quite a bit. It's because it's what I use to help me speed up the process of getting this daily live recording out the door and published so that everybody can enjoy it, not just the people listening live. So Authonic has been a lifesaver for me, and that's why you probably hear me talk a lot about it. Let's see. Oh, also, I just wanted to shout out, did I see some Baza in here? I thought I saw him come in here, but maybe it's just because I saw his post, so I've got him on my mind. He and Jen, and I think is it Jen Dub who's in the audience? If it's you, Jen, please give me a hand raise. Admittedly, I'm so used to, because I see you all in your profiles here, that you know, those profile pictures, that's how I recognize you. So when I see a different picture of you on Facebook or something like that, sometimes I get confused. I don't know that's the same person. It happens to me all the time. I get so locked in on your Clubhouse profile pictures. Okay, cool. That is Jen. So Jen and Simbaza have started a collaboration. Jen, her podcast, Woke by Accident, and the Simbaza podcast, every Wednesday night, they're going live on YouTube, Facebook at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And Jen, if you are able and you want to come up, that's all the information he shared. So I can't tell people any more about what this is other than it's great conversations and stories, which I trust it is. And if you want to come up or share in the chat a little more about that, we'd love to hear it. Otherwise, as a community, let's go check that out Wednesday nights live, YouTube and Facebook, 9 p.m. Eastern. Cool, little community housekeeping today. And now we're going to go to the question of the moment. I don't know if it will take the entire day or not, or the morning anyway, the hour. This one, I'm keeping up with the theme that I started yesterday. I am enjoying going through our Facebook group that's Empowered Podcasting. You can find it at facebook.com/groups/empoweredpodcasting. And people are posting their questions. I'm digging that, and I'm bringing them in here whenever possible so that we can all answer some of these questions. This is from Julie Hood, who's been with us pretty much, as far as I recall, has been with this community since the beginning, at least since I started the Podcasting Morning Chat a couple years ago. Julie, I'm going to actually sum up her question because she wrote a couple of paragraphs about it, and I want to jump right to the question. And then we'll go to everyone on stage here. As I said, we've got Nick and Sid, Dominic and Alex, and John and Wynn also have joined us on stage. So we'll hear everyone's insights, and I definitely have some follow-up questions as well. Julie was asking, in interview-style podcasts, should the host focus primarily on letting the guest shine by, you know, spotlighting their expertise or their stories or whatever they're there for? Or is it appropriate for the host to also share and highlight their own insights? And I know the other kind of part of this question is really vice versa, right? Like, what's the guest's role? Is the guest there to prop up the host and help the host shine? Or is the guest's role to do their thing and show share their knowledge? So I'm going to go to Nick first, since he is the first one in the room this morning on stage. Nick, good morning to you. So what say you? Should the host focus primarily on letting the guests shine by spotlighting them, or is it appropriate for the host to also share and highlight their own insights?
Hey, good morning. I think it's definitely appropriate to highlight your own insights if it's a topic that you know. I think the biggest thing you have to keep in mind with it all is you should be bringing the guest on because it will best serve your audience. I think a lot of times we get caught into the mindset of, oh, I want to have this guest on. And I kind of think that it comes from more of like a personal want and not necessarily, this would be a great guest for my audience. So I think, like, if I'm bringing Sid on to talk, because I had a business podcast, if I'm bringing Sid on to talk about sales and things like that, I know very little about sales. So I'm probably going to ask a lot of questions that I have around sales that'll hopefully help my audience, but I'm probably not going to weigh in a whole lot unless he brings up something that I might have knowledge in. I'm probably going to lean on Sid a little bit more for the information he has than provide my own opinion. But if I bring on like an SEO expert and I'm talking SEO with them, I have a little bit more background in that. So I might weigh in my experiences and my stories, but I think it's totally appropriate. And you got to remember they're tuning into the show. They're tuning into your show, the audience is. And you're providing the guest as information for that listener. You totally can weigh in. And in my opinion, you should have can.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you, Nick. And before I check in with others, I do want to also ask you to share, because I realized yesterday I didn't do this during the news when I was talking about the different events. PodFest is doing a virtual event that starts, I believe, tomorrow, April 19th. And I believe you're speaking tomorrow, April 19th at 2 p.m. Eastern. Can you give us all the details as far as A, what's your topic on, and B, the details of the event, how long is it going, et cetera? I know we've talked about it once before, I believe, but I think it's important to highlight it again. Go for it, Nick.
Yeah, so it's the PodFest. They're hosting an AI and creator summit. So all of the topics are going to be AI and content creation related. And yeah, it starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. is kind of like the pre-kickoff stuff. And by 10:30, they're rolling straight into a lot of the sessions. And that'll go all the way until 3:30. And then they take a break for the weekend, so Saturday and Sunday, nothing. And then they pick back up again on Monday at 9:30, and they'll run straight through Wednesday, the afternoon on Wednesday. So there's 4 full days of AI discussions, content creation discussions, using AI tools. I'm pretty excited about it. This is my jam. But I think, yeah, you're right. 2 o'clock tomorrow is mine. I'm going to be talking about Zapier, using AI, this new Zapier tool that they just released. It's kind of in beta right now, but essentially allowing you, if I could describe it, it's like if you were to have a conversation with ChatGPT and then ChatGPT would go and do stuff for you. That's kind of what this is. So,
and by do stuff, you don't mean just give you an answer. You mean like go off and do the things that you want it to do. Like, I don't know, create a podcast called the AI Briefing.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there's a bunch of different things I've been playing with in it. Like it'll go into your Google Sheets and pull information. Like I'm thinking, Sid, for you, pulling sales records from your clients, like if it's connected, you could literally say, give me all the sales records for this one client, or give me all the sales records for this one salesperson inside the chat, like you're having a conversation, and it'll go find that information, pull it all for you. And then likewise, maybe you need to follow up with an email, and you could literally tell the chatbot, pull all the sales information, send an email out to that salesperson that's in charge of that, letting them know that they need to follow up or whatever. And it'll literally just do everything. It'll go to Google Sheets, find the information, draft the email, send the email, do it all. Like it's blowing my mind.
So cool.
So that's what my discussion on tomorrow is going to be about. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Awesome. Well, good luck. And I know you've been prepping hard for that, so you probably don't need much luck. I think this is going to be a really interesting talk. And I should also say, I know Simona, who isn't here because she's been traveling, if you've noticed her absence. Simona is also, I believe, speaking. I think, I want to say it's on Descript, and I could be completely wrong, but I believe that is what she's talking about. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah, she is speaking on Descript. Once I get to the office here and I can stop and sit down for a second, I'll figure out when her talk is as well. Because awesome. I do have the full schedule and I can put it in the chat here.
Awesome. Yeah, and I am putting the PodFest link, the direct link. I know I'm sharing it here live. I'm putting it in the show notes as well. PodFestExpo.com/masterclass. You can find the info there.
And last thing to add, if you do, well, I think tickets are free. I believe there's a free version of it where you can tune into everything live. If you want the replay, I think you have to purchase a ticket. So if you use the code NELBOCK50, or I think that's everyone's last name in 50, so you could use Constantini50 or NELBOCK50, that'll give you, I think, between like a 20 and 30% discount on the tickets, which would allow you to have recordings and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested, just wanted to throw it out there, and maybe you want to pay the full price.
And it's NALBACH50, you said?
Yeah, 50. Okay. NALBACH 50.
I will include that in the show notes as well. Thanks, Nick. Okay, so going back to the question from Julie, I want to hear from Sid, and then we'll keep it going to Dominic and Alex, et cetera. So Sid, yeah, so an interview-style podcast, you do these. Should the host focus primarily on letting the guest shine, or is it appropriate for the host to also shine and share and highlight their own insights? What say you, Sid? Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I think it's a combination of both. You got to remember, you're bringing your guests on for a reason. You're bringing them on to showcase their product or their service or their story, whatever it is, whatever your show is about. You're bringing them on for a reason. So they certainly should be have the opportunity to highlight who they are and what they do and share that content with the listener, right? But I think when appropriate, you can certainly respond to something that they said or share your insights on a similar topic, kind of to Nick's point. If you have that experience or you have done something similar, then absolutely. I think part of having a podcast is establishing yourself as a thought leader slash expert in your field and in your category. And if all you do is ask questions, then you're not establishing yourself as that authority. So I think it's important when appropriate to add your insight into the particular topic and or question.
Thanks, Sid. Yeah. I mean, this, in some ways, I feel like to sum up what you said, it's similar to that phrase we often hear about an audience often may initially come to your show for that guest, and then they'll keep returning for the host. But in order to make that happen, I believe the host does need to engage. The host does want to share and add to the conversation. So if the guest is talking about, I just had an interview yesterday, actually, the very first one we're going to release at some point soon for the Podcasting Morning Chat, the very first one-on-one interview that's actually outside the live recording. And I noticed when thinking about this question, I went back and looked a little bit at the recording, and I definitely did that. There were times where I held back because I felt like my guest knew a lot more about that particular area than I did. And there were times that she taught me some things and I called that out, right? Like, oh, I hadn't thought about it like that. And then there were times that she said stuff and I felt like I could add more to it. And I was compelled to, and I just did. And I feel like it really helped the interview along a lot, because it also, I noticed, opened her up and she started sharing even more and creating an engaging conversation. Is going, in my opinion, attracts your audience. It gets them interested in coming back and seeing what the next episode's going to be and what the host is going to say and who is that guest. But they have to want to come back for the host. The host is the anchor of that show. So I am absolutely with you there, Sid and Nick. Dominic, I saw you were flashing a thumbs up emoji during Sid's share, so I'm going to guess that maybe you're also on a similar page. Do you have any other insights? And if not, I've got a follow-up for you.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with Sid, you know, when it comes to that. What I would just add to that, and that was kind of the crux of my answer in general, was like, and I think it varies person to person, and you're showing what your goal is or whatever. I think if I'm interviewing somebody, and this is just me, if I'm interviewing somebody and they are the subject matter expert and I'm not, then I'll probably do like maybe a 15-25%, 75% split between them talking in their favor and then me talking, right? Because I'm trying to give them that shine, put them, you know, in that place as the subject matter expert. Now, if we both are subject matter experts, then maybe I'll bump my percentage up to like maybe 35%. But still, I'm going to yield most of that time to the guest because they are the guest, right? Because that's why we brought them on the show. Otherwise, I could have just did a solo episode by myself, right? So that's just to kind of add that caveat to what Sid was saying. But that's just a preference for me.
Yeah. Thanks, Dominic. So then my follow-up to you, how do you figure that out, that you're contributing 35% of the time?
Honestly, I try to go back, you know, in past interviews or whatever, and like, you know, look at my like Otter transcription, because Otter does a really good job of like, you know, giving you a percentage of who talked to when. I'm pretty sure other transcription services may do this too. And then if I go see one where I'm a subject matter expert as well and just try to study that interview as I prepare for the next one that may be similar, right? And just try to make sure I'm framing my questions and stuff like that. But I'm also, what I'm going to do is go and study if they have past podcast interviews, because I know for some people, I just throw out a little piece of red meat and they'll just go, right? And then there's others where like, okay, I probably need to kind of, I don't want to say prop up, but I need to probably talk a little bit more because I know they're not a big speaker, if you will. So I may have to step in from time to time. So it's not really a hard, like, this is the key to it. So it really does vary. So it does matter, like, as far as your show prep and things of that nature. So
have you ever edited yourself down because you thought you were talking too much, that you thought maybe you exceeded that 35%?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because again, I'm bringing on a guest to be the expert, right? And so I need to kind of, because again, I could just go back and just do my own thing if I wanted to. And so I want to give that person that shine and that platform to you know, prop them up a little bit. So yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Dominic. Appreciate that. Yeah, I definitely have caught myself editing myself out because I thought I was talking too much. I admit it.
But at the same time, if I feel like I spit some hot fire, like I'm going to keep those parts. But just fluff or whatever, yeah, I'll take that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, that because to that point, you're not going to edit yourself out if you're dropping some knowledge and dropping some bombs, right? Like, yeah, you want to keep that in there. And I'm highlighting that because to Julie's question, Julie did, in her Facebook post, did say her interpretation or her understanding of being a guest is to prop up the host. And so I just wanted her to hear that, you know, yeah, here are some hosts now that are all saying, if we're going to contribute, if we're contributing in a positive way, if we're adding additional insights, we're keeping that in. And Alex, let me ask you on this subject. Do you ever, and there's no right or wrong here, do you ever have pre-interviews? I'm trying to think. That's why I'm pausing. I'm trying to think, has he said if he does pre-interviews or not? But I'm going to ask you this anyway. Do you ever establish your roles with your guest. Like, we're going to just ask you some questions. You guys, you are going to give us all the answers. We're not going to chime in a lot. Like, do you establish that role with the guest?
It's hard because yes, we do. If we're doing the interview, meaning we set it up, but if anybody's ever had to do like a junket, there is no pre-interview. You just get 5 minutes and hold on and try to hope to God that they answer promptly. It's just like rapid fire questions. The problem with those junket type of things is everybody's asking the same type of question. So you really have to do your research and try to come up with a new way to say the same thing to get the good answer kind of thing. But to what you guys were saying about guests, I've always felt that it as a host, you want to make that guest shine. They're coming on. They got stuff that they got to promote. Let's promote it with, for the reasons why we have them on the show. You know, they're trying to promote the show. They're trying to promote whatever, other works that we try to talk about. I like throwing in questions to your point about putting your personality in it, that I like to frame the question that has a little bit of my personality in it. But When I do interviews, I'm always saying to myself, shut up, Alex, shut up, just let them talk. I've been forcing myself to put myself on mute because I just have a tendency to what I'm doing right now, which is talking too much. But you have to let those guests, and I learned that from here. Just let the person talk and be quiet, and they'll give you, 9 times out of 10, they'll give you what you want, unless it's somebody that doesn't know how to interview. And that's a whole nother room. Interviewing is not easy because when you have 5 minutes or 7 minutes, we need certain stuff. And if the person doesn't know how to interview, which they're not teaching a lot of the actors and sports type people, it's an art to answer. Give good sound bites. So sometimes you have to pull teeth.
Yep. I like to, when people say what you just said, Alex, I like to point to Lloyd George because he has talked about this before. I've heard him talk about it on Simona's podcast. I've had conversations with him about it where he really has practiced that art of giving good sound bites with his answers. He talks about he tries to keep his answers to 30 to 60 seconds. Because that makes it so much easier for the host to pull valuable clips and also makes it easier as far as editing goes, because you don't have to sit and piece things together to make it all flow and sound coherent. He just has put a lot of effort into that and it shows. And you mentioned the junkets thing, and to the question I had asked you, that's a situation where in most cases, they are unspoken established roles because it is a rapid fire. You have your 5-7 minutes. The guest coming on knows you're just going to be rattling off a lot of questions. You're not going to be throwing in a lot of your own insights because you only have limited time. I think there's some value in establishing those roles up front. It does not have to be a whole list of rules and guidelines. And it doesn't have to be a pre-interview. It could be in an email when you are confirming the interview day and time. Hey, here's how this is going to work. I'm going to ask you these questions and I want your insights and I want to hear about your experience and your expertise. And heads up, I may throw in some of mine too. Let's make this a conversation. Let's share our insights. And that then leads to, what if your guest is saying stuff that you fundamentally don't agree with? Or in your experience, you have experienced something entirely different. Do you let them go without saying anything during that interview? Or do you chime in? And John, I'm going to ask you that question. What are your thoughts as our resident radio guy?
And I'm, by the way, Dominic and Alex, I would never have recognized you in person based off your bio photo, but your bio, your
voice. The cartoons don't give it away, huh?
Yeah, if I tripped over them, I wouldn't know they were until they started talking, then I recognized them. So here's a brief overview of stay, and this might really piss some people off, but please understand what I'm saying. It's your show. It is your show. It is not their show. It's your show. Everything for me is about the format of the show and making sure that the whole conversation, and I don't do scripted questions. I don't have them written out. I have two ideas of what they're going to talk about from their experience. I also have their websites, books, whatever it is. I do all the promoing. They don't even talk about that until the end of the show. The only time that changes is if they're a paid advertiser. Then it's all about their expertise and promoing stuff. Otherwise, it's not happening. So I have two ideas of whether, and the rest of it's an organic conversation. That's the key to it, is a conversation. And yes, I do respond when it is appropriate. When I have something, it's going to be one of two things. One is going to be sort of my experience and mirror that, or I don't understand because of this. Can you explain more? And last thing is, you said this question is, if someone starts going off on a rant that is not in line with my show, I stop them right there. And I tell them, this is recorded. And I'll stop the conversation and say, hey, that's not what we're here to talk about. That's not what the show's about. If you want to continue on, we're going to talk about this, this, and this, or it's over. It's your choice. End of story.
Thank you, John. I think sometimes some hosts are afraid to do that in the podcast space, afraid to stop the guest and say, hey, this isn't the direction this episode is supposed to go in. Can we refocus? I don't know if the way John's explaining it verbatim is the way he does it. I feel like it is, right?
I've done it two or three times since 2017. Most people, it's clearly established ahead of time in discovery call what we're going to talk about. And I only have an idea. I don't read what they send me. I don't watch other interviews. I don't want to have our conversation jaded by their conversation with other people. I want to have unique, organic conversation about that fits the format, which is their story.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, John. Alex,
hey, John, I have a question. Are most of your guests, because I know you deal a lot, obviously, with a lot of law enforcement, are a lot of your guests people that speak, or a lot of your guests non-guests, you know what I mean, non-people that speak? And is that, does that change anything for you?
No, I'd say it's about 50-50. Actually, probably a little bit more, depending on the time, 60-40 non-professionals compared to professionals. And it's really about their story. I did have a guest referred by Matt Pivato recently, just sent her episode to radio. She's a professional. She's got a dynamite story. She's abducted, held hostage multiple times for multiple days as a teenager, and sexually abused. And she talked about her experience. The real power was how she changed her life afterwards, later in life as an adult. That's where the real power of her story was. But it's very much personal experience driven.
What I mean is it, do you get a lot of, do you know if you're going to get those people that just won't say a lot? I mean, I know they're going
to
come.
Well, here, talk, I hate to say this, Sid. I mean, Alex, a long time ago in radio, I complained to my program director that this, I forget who it was. Let's just say it was, it wasn't him, but let's just say it was Bret Michaels from Poison. He was a great interview, by the way, but they say he was a horrible interview. And they go, that's your job to make it a good interview. It's your show. It's not on the guest, it's on you. You got to figure out a way to get them to open up and talk. And the best way to do that is by having conversation, organic conversations.
So, John, I'm guessing it may be limited time that you have with your guests, but if you notice they're being that way, do you ever first, before you really hit record and get into the interview, do you make small talk to build that rapport a little bit, loosen them up a little bit? Like, how do you get them to open up?
When we do the actual day of the interview, we talk a little bit. I do a legal disclaimer first, and then we do some sound checks to get levels on audio levels, volume levels, make sure they're not echoing badly or using earbuds or some other Wi-Fi or Bluetooth device that damages audio quality. And then I tell them, this is how the formatted show goes. We're going to talk about this and this. And I let them know this is important. There's no, this isn't a 60 minutes interview. There's no gotcha questions. It's not like preparing for a pop quiz. This is your story. You know it. I don't know it. I wasn't there.
Yeah. Thank you, John. And Dominic, I saw you wanted to add something. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is not to disagree with John. This is more so just to add a different style of doing it, because I think it also depends on, like John said, is your show. You have a particular format, so you should stick to that format. What I will say, though, is so like I said, I you know, yesterday I was in New York for a movie screening. And so the guest was pretty nervous about coming on the show because, you know, based on the nature of the conversation or whatever, and this is one of the first times being like out in public and telling the story or whatever. And so for me, I always build rapport days, maybe even a few weeks in advance, if I know I'm going to do this show. Now, John probably does shows a little bit more often than I do, so I have the advantage to be able to do that. He really probably doesn't have that if you're doing shows, you know, extremely often like that.
Yeah, we do talk. We talk on the phone about 2 weeks before. So, yeah, we do have the discovery call, and it's not the first shot.
Gotcha. No, I get that. I'm not saying that at all. I guess what I'm saying is I just prefer a different approach in the sense of building that rapport and like multiple times over, right? And I'm also studying past interviews to understand their conversation style, because some people you can just throw it out there and they'll just go. Other people, you have to pull it out of them. So I'm going to do that information and that fact finding well in advance. And to John's point, if it's not a great interview, sometimes it is on, you know, many times often it is on the host. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it is a great interview. I'm not going to blame the guest because the guest is going to be the guest. So I just wanted to add that caveat to what John was saying.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out too, Dominic. I find it so valuable when there's history I can go back to and watch or listen, meaning if that guest has been a guest on multiple shows, or in my case yesterday when I interviewed someone, she's a host of a podcast. So I was able to go back. I mean, I already have been listening to her podcast, and I was still able to go back and listen to not just the questions she asks, but also the comments she makes. Because what she does is she definitely, I'm talking about Heather Parody. I mentioned her earlier this week. She will respond to a guest and usually share a little bit about her personal experience to whatever they're talking about. And I do notice she also doesn't go too deep into her experience. And she'll say some things that are kind of left on the table that get me curious. And so when I was researching her, I was writing some stuff down like, oh, I want to know about that she just kind of brushed by. And so I did ask her, and it did make that conversation more engaging. Okay, I see we have people who want to respond. I'm going to go to Amanda Yoa. I think I saw hers come up first, and then I'm going to go to Jackie. I know a lot of people have, and I'm going to try to get to everybody. Amanda Yoa, good morning. What did you want to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, when you have, and it was something that you said earlier about, you know, what if you don't agree? And I think what really makes a captivating interview in some instances is when you have a guest and there is something that maybe you don't agree on, but your audience doesn't. You know, I think sometimes it's good to act like the middleman and bring what the community has been saying or the community's opinion. And it gives the guest an opportunity to explain themselves, to clear the air. And then you can engage in that conversation and give your opinion, whether you agree with the audience or whether you now see a different perspective. It just adds a different angle to the conversation. So, you know, I wanted to add that as well. It's good to incorporate what has the community been saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's also important just to highlight the fact that if you as the host do disagree with the guest or vice versa, as long as you feel comfortable enough, as long as you feel you can disagree, you know, I think depends also on the environment, and hopefully the host is making it a comfortable one. I think having a disagreement or very different perspectives is really valuable to a show. It's entertaining. and it's engaging to hear differences of opinion. I think it's important to be able to share that. I mean, this is a show. It's not just to bring on a guest and bow down and say, okay, you know everything and I don't. There's nothing interesting to me about that. I'd rather just go listen to their show. If the guest has a show, I'm just go listen and hear what they have to say. It adds layers. Jackie, good morning. How are you? How is the non-smoking going? And what did you want to add to the conversation?
Hi, everybody. It's been over 3 weeks now, so it's going great. I wanted to say that everything everybody's saying is super interesting to me. I do a pre-interview, right? And I'm the same way. I tell them how my show goes. Most of the time I'm highlighting them and I just pop in. And a lot of things are relatable, you know, because mine's more about parenting and their story. And so I think it's important to go back and forth. With that being said, with the beliefs that you're not like you don't really believe yourself and maybe you haven't portrayed on your show, I've been getting into more of that lately because of the other show I'm about to do. For instance, somebody was talking about how they're super spiritual, meaning like they're Christian. It's a Christian woman and how much that helped her through what she went through. And she's like, I don't know if I should share that. And I'm like, if it was important to you, you should absolutely share that. Like if you have heard me speak before here, you probably know what I'm about, but I still think it's important for people to talk the way that they're most authentic. Right. So like, if that's what helped them, like 100%. And I'm not here to push what I believe, to judge anything like that. I'm here to light you up more. And then that's kind of the personality that people get when I'm interviewing. Does that make sense?
Yes, like, it does.
That is my personality on my show, is lighting people up and lifting them and highlighting their story and how they got through it, you know? So it is kind of all about my guest when there's a guest on. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that, Jackie. I connect with that. Yeah. Sometimes if that's kind of what you're showcasing about you and what, and your show is to lift people up and put them in the spotlight, that makes sense. That's your format and it works for you. Alexandra has been waiting patiently. Thankfully, I have co-hosts and moderators that give me the heads up that sometimes I'm not in the chat looking around and seeing what the questions are. So thank you to the moderators for giving me that heads up. Alexandra, please forgive me. And I know you have another question. So the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. My question is simple. As a way of promoting my audio drama, I'm going to be doing two different interviews with my cast. I'm going to do one as them and their interviewing them as if they're their character that they're playing. And then the other one I'm going to do as the actor themselves. So one, in terms of scheduling, should I schedule both interviews for the same day with the cast member? And then also, should I post both interviews as a preseason, or save the character interviews behind a paid tier on Patreon?
Thank you, Alexandra. I'm going to ask if one of the moderators can chime in, because my phone rang right during your question and it cut out the audio. So I missed some of it. I see Sid's got something for you, Alexandra. Go for it, Sid.
Yeah, good morning. Alexander, I love the fact that you're going to interview them in character and then out of character. I think that's really cool, right? To be able to hear the behind the scenes of what the person feels like their character's doing. I would actually do the reverse. I would put the interview with the actor behind the paywall, and so that they're talking about their character and the developments, and maybe they keep some secret about their character that only happens, if you only get information about, if you will, behind the paywall. I think that would be really cool, because I would want to pay to learn more, if you know what I mean. Follow me.
Yeah, I follow you. I like that idea. And you could really build some teasers around that too, to help build up some hype that there is this special interview behind a paywall. I like that idea. Does anyone else have any ideas for Alexandra? Any thoughts? I'm curious. Yeah, you know, and I have a feeling that that was what I was thinking, is it's Alexandra's question is unique to most of us in this room, because her podcast isn't an interview traditionally, right? It's not a back and forth conversation. It's a story. It's a performance. I like that idea, Sid. And I'm trying to think, if we reversed it, would that work? If we had the actor sharing about the character, and then the character interview separately, could that be as enticing? I think it could. Go ahead, Nick.
I kind of think it could, because it's almost like additional content, like almost like mini stories off of the main story. So yeah. It would almost be like little shorts based around the main drama.
Absolutely. And Alexandra, I'm actually going to flip the question back at you. What if you were a listener, if you were part of your audience, what do you think would intrigue you more? You know, what would be the thing, if you were to kind of take Sid's advice and put one of those two interviews behind the paywall, which one would you be more drawn to actually paying for to hear?
Team, I got to go deep this morning. It's too early for this. What Sid was saying, I actually would pay to hear about the cast and hear the behind-the-scenes stuff. Because that would be cool to hear about after hearing the podcast, hearing what goes into it. So I think I'm going to take Sid's advice and flip it.
I like it. And I think I ask you that question to John's point earlier. It's your show. And I think if it's something that you're going back and forth with and debating, what's the audience going to want? At some point, you have to say, well, you know what? What do I want? If I were them, what would I want? And go with that. And the worst that happens is it doesn't work that time. And now you've got something to go with the next time to try a new experiment. Thank you for that question, Alexandra. I appreciate it. All right. I want to go to Wynn, because Wynn's been on stage this entire time. And also, I know we are a day away from Wynn's back surgery, so I definitely want to say hello to Wynn and wish her all the luck and good health.
That's next week, you guys.
Oh, I keep thinking, I thought it was this Friday. You've been talking about it so much, I was thinking it was this Friday. My mistake.
Next Tuesday, if all things go according to plan.
Good.
Anyway, that's beside point. And I'll get into that on a different day. But for those of you that are listening to this recording, I have cerebral palsy, and so people are confused as to why I have cerebral palsy and why I'm doing a podcast. And so my podcast is called CEO Disability, and so if you look up CEO Disability, you find me. And then thank you, everyone, for saying you need to do pre-calls with all your guests, because I haven't had one in a long time. A couple of weeks ago, and I actually published the interview, I had a dry guest, meaning he handed me questions, which I didn't even see. And then he said, well, during his feedback to me, he said, I was a little bit surprised that you didn't ask me the questions we agreed on. I'm like, I didn't know that you wanted questions asked. And so I'm going to make pre-calls a requirement for people to be on my show now, because I think it's a wonderful idea for me to state, yes, this is my show. Yes, I have a physical disability. Yes, we can talk about your story, but let's do something before we hit record.
Thank you, Wynn. And I heard you say you had a question, but it feels like it evolved into more of a statement, an idea. But I want to make sure, did you have a specific question?
No, I did not. I had a specific question at the beginning of this thing, but now and then evolved into a statement.
Cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm going to make sure to share a link to your show, because I know you've been joining us on stage more frequently, and we haven't really properly shared that with our audience. So I am sharing that in the show notes for everyone this morning. Please go check out her show and show her some love, some support. And yeah, okay. I now have it mentally marked when I know it's Tuesday. I think I've gotten that wrong multiple times since we've been talking. The surgery is Tuesday. And either way, I will continue to send you good healing vibes. Okay.
So thank you.
You're welcome. So with that, we are returning tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern time. We're going to be discussing our wins from the week. We will also have more questions like this one today. I appreciate this conversation. I love how one question can evolve into an entire conversation. Thank you for indulging and being a part of it, however you were. And please join us every Monday through Friday. If you can't do it live here on Clubhouse at 7 a.m. Eastern, you can do it by checking out the podcast at 7 a.m. Pacific time every Monday through Friday. Until Friday, make it a great weekend, everybody. Take care.